Howdy, y'all. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. It's Sunday at 10 p.m. in Columbus, Ohio. You're listening to the best. You're listening to WCRS. Getting ready for work this week? Ready to do some insurrection? Ready to get inspired to tell your boss off? That's what we're here for every single week. We have our new schedule. For those of you that listen to us regularly, we were on it Thursdays. Now we are the Sundays at 10 p.m. We have safe harbor. We can get a little bit more loose with the language. A little bit more direct with our intentions when it comes to what we want to see in this world. And it certainly isn't a Donald Trump versus a Hillary Clinton as some sort of choice. We are fighting back against the system every single week, two times a week. But most importantly, here on WCRS in Columbus, Ohio, we go over the airwaves for completely free to build that network of insurrection, of, you know, disenfranchised people that want to change the world so that nobody gets $1 billion, because no one's worth $1 billion. We need to share the resources, and people that work need to have no stress in their life. We need to move towards more free time for everyone so we can create our own communities without the conglomerate, propped up bureaucratic version. We're Street Fight, and we're not always that verbose, but sometimes I just really feel it. And my name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quimby. We are going to be live in Columbus, Ohio, doing a performance on stage June 10th. So if you're just tuning in and you've never heard us before, but you're trying to not get the Republicans and Democrats in your life, come check us out. We're going to start a laugh riot. It begins at Cafe Kerouac in Columbus, Ohio, June 10th, 7 p.m. Please be there. That's going to be amazing, and we're going to party afterwards, and it will be a memorable event. So please add it to your calendars and tell anyone you know, and bring your friends, of course, if you're in the area. I think that does everything, man. I gave them the whole enchilada there.
Bring your rowdy friends.
Yes,
actually, yeah.
I just want to indoctrinate you. I want to get them in real quick. I got to like catch them up. You know, they have to realize what we're going for here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's anarchy. I mean, no controlling other people's lives, but like taking care of each other, some camaraderie as well.
That's true. That is true. No gods, no masters. But we're going to stand on a stage that's slightly higher than the people in the room, and we're going to talk to, probably more talk at you than talk to you. Maybe Brett,
it'll be a little bit of
conversation in front of you.
There's going to be some archy happening. There will be some hierarchy, and that our voices will be prioritized in the room. But other than that, it's horizontal organization all the way. I mean, that's all I'm looking for, is a way to let people in the neighborhood work at the Wendy's and make the food that they like that isn't just like box garbage. You know, like let's stop letting that happen.
We will adhere to the nap, though. While we're doing this show, we'll talk aggressive. Does that account in the NAP, non-aggression principle?
I am openly threatening the billionaire class on this radio show every single week. If you make a lot of money, if you have more than one home, I have problems with you immediately.
Oh, you're allowed, but that's outside of the NAP, though. Like, I'm saying that, like...
Well, but I'm getting aggression. Like, that's pro-aggression. That's saying, like, don't let me get near you.
So, but most of the time, you're like, that's the thing. You can't be like, oh, I'm not, right now I'm not in a nap. You know what I mean? Right now I'm not a vegetarian. Right now I'm not smoking. But like every once in a while, I'm going to come out of it. Like right now I'm a non-aggression all the way. But if I came across a billionaire, I'd be like, I got to be aggro to you. Right now I'm living outside of the nap. It's like when a vegetarian eats meat for like a month and they're like, I'm just gonna start over.
Flexitarian. It's like being a flexitarian of some sort.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a switch up, temporary switch up. It's a quantum way of thinking, living in a state that is mostly in lines with ethical behavior. I'm absolutely with you. I want this to be done great. I really, you know, I have prepared and studied how to live in a post-revolutionary world and live via militia and via you know, living by burning oil drums and stuff. I've studied Mad Max and all of that stuff, and I'm well prepared and connected to do that. I don't want it to go that way, though. I think that most of us that are struggling to get by but want to do the right thing and commit to doing some work every single day deserve to have it a little bit easier than some of these blue bloods out there, silver spoons, that just get everything handed to them. They don't need to have those foreign cars. We don't need it. Well, we don't need to be spending this money, much money on cars just because someone's dad moved some oil money around.
It's kind of appealing to me to bring them down to this level. Like, I can live like this.
Whatever. Oh, I know. No, I'm...
this is perfectly fine. I would love to bring them down here. I mean, they'd be fine, right? Like, this is the easy... Like, I live a pretty easy life.
They can shop clearance rack.
Yes. Yeah. They can, like, be like, I'm going to wait until they're selling those Apple Lightning cables. I'm going to wait until they're selling those for $3, and I'm going to buy, like, four of them.
Yeah, I'll make a smart purchase. You know, I have to really budget that electronic spending. I have to do that. I maintain. Yeah. I got some pretty tight electronics, but yeah, I mean, you have to watch it. I mean, you can't go out. You got, you know, every dollar counts. For them, it doesn't. I mean, they get to live wasteful as hell at the, you know, and everybody else suffers for it. And it's like, it's not worth it. I think blood diamonds is worth it.
I have an iPad. Like, I'm sitting around with an iPad. Like, if Bill Gates can't live in a world where, like, you have pretty much all the food you could ever want and an iPad, then I'm sorry, man. Yeah. You know?
Leonardo DiCaprio can be in all the best, most awesome movies, and we can spend all the money in the world to make him look fantastic, and he can just come home and drink a six-pack of Budweiser like a regular Joe. Like, he doesn't – we don't really need to pamper that guy for being awesome on film.
Yeah, that would be great, though, to really – that is true anarchy. That's the kind of –
it's six-pack crap. I'm sorry. I can't say – I'm sorry. I can't support the Budweiser brand. I feel really guilty right now that I would put that on the airwaves. But, no, we can. There's plenty of guys in the neighborhood that are willing to brew that beer. I mean, they're everywhere in Columbus anymore. And, I mean, they get you totally messed up, and you don't have to drink, like, 128 of them. I remember getting a case of 24 beers, and it's like – I mean, this is hedonistic and wild and so many other things, but it just felt wrong afterwards. Give me some of that, like, barley wine. Give me two barley wines, and I'm turned.
Yeah. Yeah, you think Budweiser's going to be cool with that ad we just did?
I don't know. I hope not. I don't want to. I would never advertise for them. Although I know they do have high-paying. They have high-paying jobs. Like, I always wanted the Budweiser job in Columbus because it was a big deal. But the product is bad, and that's not what I want to go to. I want to see – I'd rather just see these – and they can make bad beers. Like, these guys are just a little too arrogant. These bros in their hoodies, they're addicted to hops and stuff. They can make us a real urine-style beer that would make us all happy. They're just not breaking them out as much. They really need to just put one out there to take out, you know, that InBev and Miller Coors and all that.
Yeah, burger beer in Ohio. Yeah. You can get that for $6.99, and it's made here. You don't feel bad. I mean, the thing about the Budweiser job too is I think you get free beer. But like one time I was hanging out, I remember one time you and I were hanging out, and you went and bought a six pack of Red. It was called Red Arrow or something like that. You were like really pumped about it. And then you Googled it on your phone. And you found out it was Budweiser. It ruined the beer for you.
Red Hook.
Red Hook.
You broke the news. You broke the news. You're a non-beer drinker, but I was drinking Red Hook and was like, this IPA is like on point. Mild, all my favorite notes, good on the nose. I was so into it. And then you were like, I think you're shilling for Budweiser right now, bud. And I was like, totally embarrassed.
Yeah. Sitting there spreading the word. You stopped liking the beer. You're like, this is some bullshit beer.
That's what the big thing for me is that I've been called a snob over it or a hipster or whatever it is, but I don't care, man. I feel better about having someone make it in a wind-powered factory is hella cool. That's way better than someone getting hired from the unemployment office in Columbus for me. I'd rather see people that are, you know, a part of a small business than like forced into some conglomerate.
people that work at Anheuser-Busch in Columbus are like royalty, though. That's like one that's a dream job. That's one
it
of
is.
The
It is. I wanted
jobs.
It so bad, dude. I really would love. I want to bring the world the beer. Like, that's my definitely a motivation of mine. I would go down in the beer mines and scoop up all the beer and refine it and whatever, however they make beer. Like, I definitely would volunteer my time for that. Even once again, post revolution, you know, like I can offer my hands at that. Definitely.
Honda
I love
factory
it.
Too. People want to work at that Honda factory real bad, you know?
Yeah, that's, I mean, these make the world go round though in Ohio. It's wild because, you know, you
it
can
sucks,
get by
though.
on those type of wages. But the weird thing about it is that you're tied into a level of comfort and, you know, you hit an absolute ceiling. You know, you can work out your budget to the point where, you know, the house is paid for and you got a brand new lease and you can go to Walmart two times a paycheck and get by. But you like beyond that, I mean, it's just like living on the razor's edge.
Yeah, you don't take a lot of vacations.
No.
Certainly, you can see where somebody who makes barely enough to live would be like, you know, this Donald Trump seems like he's speaking my language, you know? Because he's like yelling at all the people that make the guy goes out there and yells at all the people that make you mad, you know?
Yeah, but I mean his appeal, I don't know, his appeal for me hasn't really addressed the people that are super poor that are mad, you know, that feel competition from unpaid labor, like under the table labor, you know, millions of people in this country that make our world go round, like it or not, like those strawberries that you got on sale for $1.99 a pound are the result of, you know, someone showing up and picking them, you know, without ID or willing to do it. In a you know, we talk about contract labor and same thing there, you know, just a tenuous relationship. Somehow the strawberries got into this plastic clamshell case. And without those people, though, I mean, our economy crumbles.
Yeah. I actually walked by a construction site the other day and I walked behind it. I get it's a building that they're building. I walked on the back of the building in the alley and I saw all the signage that was like directed at the contractors, and it just all seemed like it was scolding them. Any sign that people were, that the workers were supposed to read were like, if you do this and we catch you once, it'll be a warning. If we catch you again, we fine the company you work for. And it's like, it just seemed like, man, I don't know.
Work environment right now is outrageous, man. I mean, what we're in is like really upsetting. The world, I don't know the direction it's moving, but it's like, I don't know how long we can keep going with this. I guess people are remotely happy, but still barely getting by.
You want to hear now that we're talking about work, I wanted to bring up this great meme I saw this week, Brett, like an earth-shattering conservative meme that I saw this week about Henry Ford.
The dankest of all memes
from Henry Ford. It's about unions. It's about, I'm getting to it. Why didn't I open it before the show? I knew I wanted to talk about this meme, you know?
Is this the one that Randy G-Dub asked you about?
He did. He asked me about it, and I had just seen it the other day. It's basically their attempt to destroy union gains by saying, like, you know, here, I'll be there in 2 seconds, Brett.
Please get there.
Please. I'm like, say something, talk until I get there. Hold on, yeah. Now I gotta find it.
I saw there was a mysterious, they were offered up a headline from a conservative news website that a meme had literally leveled the socialism versus capitalism debate. And Randy G-Dub on Twitter there sent it to you, and you were able to surmise from that headline that this certainly was a Henry Ford meme. He, above all, fought the way for the assembly line. A man could get on an assembly line after Henry Ford. Remember his history, right? Before then, yeah. you couldn't jump into an assembly line. You couldn't just be a cog in a wheel. You had to find something to do for yourself. He offered automation to our life. And that was a gift of rebirth into the consumer lifestyle.
You know, it's in my phone. I don't know why I'm not just looking in my phone. I have all the memes in my phone. You're really bad
at the internet.
Yeah, I am actually. But I keep all the memes in my phone though. So I always know.
Yeah, that's a safe. You got to keep them safe near your heart. I wouldn't. Absolutely. Don't keep your memes in the cloud. Those could easily get washed away. Those clouds can turn into rain, and then your memes are gone. And then you're screwed. You're stuck in this situation. You have a bomb-ass Wonka to drop on somebody. Uh-oh. A cloud. Uh-oh. There was an EM pulse that went off in Southern California. Now the cloud's down. Now Apple can't do anything. Now your Google Drive is down. Now what are you going to do without your meme?
True. I didn't save the meme. So what it is it says that Henry Ford paid his workers a living wage enough to be able to buy his product. He got them down to the 40-hour work week and gave them weekends off. And then they gave him the vacation time. He also gave them vacation time. And it said because unions take credit for this, but if he hadn't done it, if businesses hadn't done it, then it wouldn't happen. And I'm like, well, then why hasn't things got better now that the unions have gone away? That's only gotten worse.
Yeah, I believe those decisions were made at the behest of unions clamoring for them to happen. I don't think he just came up with those ideas out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I don't think that, like, my thing is that, like, I don't think that unions, like, didn't do anything, but they're barely at any jobs now. Like, they have a very small footprint in the labor force, you know, and things just keep tightening up. And it just seems like, man, well, if we rely on the Henry Fords of the world to pay us, it seems like they'll just give us the minimum amount that they possibly can and then kick us on the butt on the way out the door. You know?
Yeah, the deal that they offer certainly isn't within our favor. And we're selling our time every day. And, you know, that's what we need to get out of. Henry Ford, though, what kind of... I mean, I can't remember what dirt he had on him. I
forgot. He's a Nazi.
Henry Ford, that's what it was.
Loved Hitler.
I forgot about a Nazi. Yes.
He got an award from Hitler. Like, I can't, like, that is the worst possible, like, it, okay. Like, so we use Hitler as being, like, the top of bad things to be.
Most
evil. Hitler gave this guy an award, and I kind of feel like anybody that Hitler gave an award, suspect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's not the type of approval you want.
No, Hitler would have hated our show. You know, we would have probably been pretty mean to Hitler, though. I can see us being mean to him.
I believe Prescott Bush, George Bush's grandpa, was also in the favor of the Hitler.
Well, that was one of the defenses I saw. Was like, well, you know, Jack Kennedy was also, you know, he was close to Hitler, too. He sold stuff to Hitler. And it's like, well, but like...
Well, that's bad. I mean, stop doing that and don't trust people that are willing to do that.
Like, okay, fine. Like, I'm not trying to find balance in your system. They're like, well, there's a balance to that. Hold on a second. Yes, Prescott Bush did it, but also so did a Democrat. And that's what the Democrats do, too. They're like, yes, he did it, but also so did Prescott Bush, and they can just toss that back and forth as like a sedative to get them through to the next election.
Yeah, and I mean, and not much changes. That's where we're at now. We're like, we find, you know, I don't want to be more of Obama. I don't want a continuation of the Obama stuff. I already had to get a part-time job to pay for the extra $400 a month in healthcare I now have to afford, and so. Like, I don't want a continuation of these policies at all. I was not enthused. I have 5 years of recorded history on my thoughts on the Obama administration. And so I'm not looking for someone that came out of that or continued from it or offers anything similar to it.
Yeah, we're kind of privileged in that way that, like, we've recorded ourselves saying how much we don't like this. So in the future, when people look back on it and they're like, why were people so into this? There will at least be our recordings of like, it all sucks. Everything's screwed up. Everybody's one slip and fall away from destitution.
Yeah. I mean, history will be on our side. And that's how it is with those Iraq war people is there's a whole host of people, listeners of Street Fight, that if they got that wrong, like, they're not looking for those people's opinions anymore. Like, not a lot of those people rehabbed their opinions. And that happened kind of in the public eye and is still linkable. You can still go back to articles from 2003 from some of these people. So, yeah, I mean, we're definitely, I mean, we want to stick to our guns on this one.
I'm lucky we didn't have a show, though, at that time for me, because I probably would have said some very stupid things.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I mean, it changes, but, you know, we are where we are now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I'm just saying that, like, in 2003, I might have said some stupid things, but, like, I wasn't running around. Here's the thing. I wasn't educated. Nobody took me seriously. Like, when I gave my opinions on Iraq, it didn't change anybody's mind at that point.
True.
And, like, it probably didn't even reach any ears that it could have offended.
Yeah, and there was no group, there was no, like, online group for me to like or anything to show my dismay for the invasion of Iraq.
You couldn't like Uncle Sam's misguided children. At the time, you would have seen it. Because that was me. That was me when I listened to Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. I was like, well, I mean, okay, this makes a little bit of sense. But during the whole thing, I was like, I don't know if I can call myself conservative. It's not like a word that I feel very comfortable with.
I just like how these guys are constantly a-holes. I just want to be like that. I just want to constantly be obnoxious and screwing with people. But I'm not conservative. I don't care what people do.
That might have been it. That might have been my attraction to like a Glenn Beck or to a Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, it's
like they're just jerks. You know what I mean? I would love to be able to go on the radio and be an enormous jerk is what I would like to do.
Well, that was for me even felt subversive when I was a teen, like when my parents were super conservative and I was just in that environment where even in punk, everybody's like super libby, lovey dovey. And it's like, screw you. Every man is an island. You got to make your own way, man. DIY. Do it yourself. Stop. We can't be relying on other people to take care of you. One life, one chance, no regrets. You know, like that's even I felt at one point when I was a young lad.
I was ultra into like cargo shorts and Ron Paul.
Definitely.
Like in between my time as a Democrat and an anarchist and then a Democrat again, I went through a period where it was just like, man, you know, I carry a lot of cargo and I'm going to vote for this Ron Paul because he's going to make drugs legal. And you know what? The marketplace will fix everything. I actually kind of believe that a little bit, like, because people make such great human nature arguments that, of course, now I can poke holes in. But at the time, I was like, that makes sense. You know, everybody that's my boss is a jerk. That's basically how I became an anarchist.
Well, and people are also interfering in so many different ways, counting how many, you know, counting. For me, it's like with the Uber and Lyft and all that, challenging taxi cabs and how many like medallions you can have and how much those are worth and all of that. It's just like, yeah, the bureaucracy doesn't make much sense. I mean, for some of this stuff, it can just work itself out. People getting rides, it can work itself out.
I mean, here's the thing about the Uber type stuff. I know what the problems with it are. And I know that it like also leads to a declining lifestyle for people, and it stinks, and I want to fix that. But I also like I don't think that taxi drivers or that the inspections by anybody, by the state. I don't trust those any more than anything else. So, like, if the state is involved in the credentialing of something, I don't trust the state. I never trust the state. I don't trust the state to do anything. I'm sorry. That's why I'm anti-war. I don't trust any. I don't want it. I don't trust the government. Hillary Clinton is, like, the person that's going to – Donald Trump might be in charge of the government soon. Like, I'm not going to trust that. That's not something, like – so their inspection means very little to me. I mean, I guess if it scares people into compliance – but we could do that with, like, a new Bible or something like that, too.
A new Bible?
Yeah. We can figure out some other new type of social engineering other than, like, if you don't do this, you're punished, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I mean for me, people are going to – I mean, making sure that vehicle works. It's a pretty simple – it doesn't seem too complicated to make sure a car works. I don't know what else they're really doing besides taking a monopoly on the business.
The thing about Airbnb, there's a piece of me that's like, I think it's beautiful that people are offering up their places, you know, for people to sleep. That seems like almost like a hippie type of thing to do. But then, like, once you hear the politics of it, I'm sure it's like, I guess they operate without paying the same taxes as a hotel. But I'm like, I don't feel that. I mean, is that taking money from the hotel? Because I don't care about the hotel.
Yeah, I think there's hotels can do it by the book and Airbnb can do its own thing. But you're right. I just read about it this week in Berlin. They had to remove it because these investors were coming in and just buying whole, like, blocks of apartments to Airbnb them, like, they to renovate them and just rent them out. And it was like, so it, like, this competitive marketplace we have on real estate creates so many of these weird situations where it can't just be a way to find a room for the night when you're passing through.
That's one of the things that always that's one of the things I always think about with you is I remember right before you moved, you're like, one of your things was like, I wish I could just have an apartment above a business that is a store that I can just run and sell stuff out of without getting all the licenses. It's like, once you start looking into, like, well, I want to open a store and live above it, you're like, oh, now I got to get a bunch of licenses and inspections and things like that. But it's like, you're not a lazy guy. Like, a restaurant, right? Like, you gotta serve decent stuff. I don't know. It's weird because, like, I kind of am, I think, in a weird way, a little okay with inspections. I just kind of, I don't trust the people doing them, I guess.
Yeah, I think that it's worth whatever it is. I think that, you know, they'll get their own reputation. And I don't mind that situation.
What about armed citizens?
I don't think it should be... I don't think that the United States can say any business that operates within their borders has to comply with this thing. For me, I'm against that idea completely. I don't think it just doesn't work for me because I've seen what the United States plans for their economy and I don't like it at all. I'd rather see if we're pulling our money together to pay for roads so that we can all get around and travel to each other. If we're paying for buildings and development and all of these things, I'd rather it go to just local people that want to handle those things. I really do believe that food is something that doesn't have to be like a monoculture. If we're willing to focus on it and prioritize not making it McDonald's, you know, the cheapest food in town.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think if we could find some, maybe people would just become vigilante kind of health inspectors and go in and like, hey, citizens inspection.
Yes, sure.
Well, you like that?
There was a video I shared on our page, the Street Fight Radio social media, about these guys that just started mowing the lawn at the playgrounds in Detroit because there was no city services around, but they were like, well, we still want kids to play at these parks. So they set up this like lawnmower gang that goes out once a week and they all team up with their riding mowers and, you know, keep all that clean. And it's like, do I think we should throw people into complete poverty and desperation and isolation? No, but it's also what I've always believed is that we can take care of this ourselves and letting people like Hillary Clinton plan out our lives or any of these people say what we can or can't do. I don't believe that a woman's right to choose should belong to the government at all. I don't think that's their decision, you know? Like, I'd keep marriage out of their mouth too. I don't think they should have a ruling on. I think that private companies can marry people for all I care about. Like, or let people make a contract amongst each other.
I like that. I like how romantic that is, two private companies deciding to marry.
Not two private companies, two people through like a company, you register your marriage. So you're like, you know, all you have to say is like, yeah, we're trying to get this car. We're registered on eMarriage. And it's like, okay, that's fine. Y'all are serious about each other. Like,
it's
just
like
because
that's how they try to get around antitrust laws. Two businesses marry each other. It's not a merger.
Exactly.
We're allowed to do it. We're in love. Comcast is absolutely in love with NBC Universal, and we're going to go ahead and do that.
Comcast inserts all of its programming and spreads a seed on the inside of the other networks to grow a new network out of it. It's very loving. It's just like your human relationships. My lawyer, Lou, will explain it all. I promise.
Man, you're looking for a real, you're like, I'll just, everybody gets married. Really?
Voluntary association, man. What I want to see is a network of people where they can follow their dreams. If you want Hillary Clinton to be your leader, I think you should be able to join up with her camp and take your USA money and give it to Hillary Clinton and let her decide what happens with your life. You know, like I want people like, I mean, if you want to join in her network, go ahead. I don't know why we need to have like an all encompassing, you know, thing happening over top of us. It's
a
nuisance so far.
Yeah, I agree with that too. 100%. You can have whoever you want. I want this. I want more things to get married. That's kind of the plan. I'm waiting for the person to go up and give the speech about you're able to.
You can marry as many people as you want. A marriage just means that you ride or die with this person till death. You share money with them. I mean, like, I would marry you. I think I could get into a marriage with you just fine. And so, like, we tie our finances up together and we kind of look out for each other till the end. We're married now, you know?
Yeah, that is true. You should be allowed to do that. I like this. You know?
Yeah, let people have
Let's
marry
take
more
the
than
romance.
One people.
Let's
I've always felt that way, too,
out of
though.
Marriage. What?
The Mormons, the people that have like multiple wives and stuff, I know their situation is creepy as hell and everything, but like, I say, let's blow this whole marriage thing wide open. Let's get all hand out the benefits to as many people as we can.
Let's just leave the LDS places. Like Warren Jeffs sounded pretty bad. Do you remember Warren Jeffs, Brett?
No, I don't know that.
He was a Latter-day Saint. He was like a Mormon that like CNN got super obsessed with, and they basically helped the government find him, track him down and arrest him. But like he was doing the kid stuff. They're always involved with like there's always sex abuse with these guys. And that's the problem with a lot of the polygamy. But I mean, hey, if there isn't any of that, it seems fine to me. I don't mind. It just, I don't think I'd be into it. And it's never, at least in the cases, in those cases, it's never like two women and a guy. It's always like a guy and a bunch of women, or like a woman and like five guys. It's that never ends up happening. It's a guy with a bunch of wives.
Yeah. It is mostly men claiming like a whole brood of women. Not very many females out there with five dudes that are willing to share.
I also don't like a guy that has that many dicks, because a lot of times they have different houses, or they'll have like an enormous, massive, you know, McMansion, giant house. And it's like, if you're into that stuff, no, you're not doing that. You're not going to own a whole part of town. Okay.
Here's the thing. What are you going to do to prevent that? You want to like send a government agent down his throat, or are you just going to egg his house?
I'm just going to claim part of the land. I'm just going to go there and stake my claim to the land. And then when they say, you know, what are you doing here, sir? What are you doing here in my compound? I'll say, like, I'm going to live here. I'm going to let you live your life, but this is going to be my spot now. I'm going to take a little bit of your land because you're using too much of it. You can still be polygamous. I'm just taking a little bit of it.
Are you going to harass them for the polygamy?
No, I don't care. I don't mind if they have it. I'm just going to...
If it's a gross polygamy, though?
If it's bad, then yeah. Then they're going to have to go to whatever my version of jail is. I don't know what that is yet, though. See, that's the thing about me is I haven't thought much about how to replace jail until we get rid of jail.
Can I hit you with a heavy question then?
What?
This happened on the Street Fight page, and I shared this in this article because someone shared it and said that these parents needed to be in jail, and that if you don't vaccinate your children, you should be in jail. And I want to know what you think about this, because I am not, like, I don't think I know everything about it, but I have an opinion about this, and I want to know how you feel about it. So, are you ready?
Yeah. You want me to tell you how I feel, or are you going to tell me how you feel?
No, I'm going to give you this story here, and then you can, I want to know how you fall on this.
I'd love to hear this story. Give me the story.
The headline is, parents found responsible for their toddler's meningitis death, which... shitty title, of course, but this in what happened here is that basically their 19 month old son died because they believed in naturopathy medicine, and they went to some sort of one of those homeopath doctors that basically mixes some herbs and oils with water. Total woo-woo, complete BS, and they gave him like fruit juice and some sort of like weird toxic drink, not toxic drink, like toxic releasing juices. Anyways, obviously he never went to see a regular doctor or to the hospital, and he ended up dying from, you know, basically what they're trying to say is neglect. In Canada, they're ready to put these people in jail. And I'm like, for me, I just don't feel like that's the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what they're putting them in jail for. Like, if this is a child endangerment thing, I don't know if you need to put them in jail. They probably are really giving some heavy thought to the decisions that they made while the kid was alive, you know?
Yeah, I doubt they're against vaccinations and doctors anymore. I think that maybe this is like a wake-up call for them. And they are really, for me, I always wonder, you know, it's hard because what really brought this article up to me and you know, I understand wanting to say something to these people, like, wake up. But at the same time, I see people that are like, we need to throw them in jail and lock them up. And it's like, I'm so tired of that way of thinking. You know, like, we need to have way less people in jail, you know?
Yeah, I don't even – I mean, like, I've been able to train myself weirdly not to say jail first. Like, let's do jail first. I mean, I'm not really totally into – that kind of punishment all the time. Like, I don't think that every behavior needs to be punished. I do have concerns that people don't get their kids vaccinated. I don't like that at all. But, like, yeah, I don't know if I can send them to jail for it.
Yeah,
I don't know if I feel okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me is like meningitis is what killed that kid. So, you know, their reaction to it, there's plenty of other unvaccinated kids that are never going to be infected with meningitis, and they're going to live to be 80 years old. You know, so for me, we talked about it maybe 6 months ago, but there was someone filed a claim against Airbnb in Texas because their dad went and swung on a rope swing and the tree broke and it killed him. And I feel like with this governmental type patriarchy attitude, people think that like we can do enough paperwork to prevent accidents, or, you know, like if we punish people, I really do think that like losing their kid, they're not a danger to anyone else. Like we're prison abolitionists, of course, but someone like a Jeffrey Dahmer or people that are prowlers and predator, you know, are physically predators. Like I'm, pedophiles, I can see why you would keep those people in jail. I'm not necessarily fighting for their lives, but these people seem like only dangerous to children. Like they're only dangerous to their own children. And I doubt that their religion gets them through something like this.
Yeah. And even if it does, I mean, good. At least they got through the death of their kid.
Doesn't matter. I mean, for me, it's like the kid, it's a kid. And, you know, that seems like it's supposed to be sad, but they didn't even have a life that they lost. I mean, a 19-month-old barely exists, and, you know, they're gone. And that's what is happens no matter where you are anywhere in the world. It's happened forever.
No, but yeah, I mean, it's probably a pretty heavy tragedy for them to deal with in their lives. And throwing them in jail, I mean, it's the same thing as throwing like somebody in jail for drugs. It just those things don't make any sense to me. Punishing people that need help, it seems, I mean, and I've been to a jail. I took a trip to a jail, and that's kind of the way that some of the guards framed it to us. It's like, some of these people need to be here, you know, they're homeless. And I'm like, well, we can find another place to put homeless people other than jail.
Yeah. I mean, there's a better way than just locking them up in a cage.
Yeah. But it is, it's also very hard not to automatically say, well, that person needs to go to jail because they're a public health risk. They're a menace in a weird way. But you're like, can we, like, let's just spend more time trying to persuade them.
Yes. Hey, now Mrs. McClintock, we've come out here now 290 days in a row. I brought my little syringe here. We can take care of this MRR vaccination right now. Just have someone out there really pester him.
Yeah,
show him all the data. Like, look at these population sets. Let me show you these data sets of what happened when they introduced a polio vaccination into this remote community. I mean, yeah. I definitely understand that. I definitely understand the draw to it. But, I mean, for me, you got to let people live. That's all I ever want people to understand. I think that's what frustrates me more than anything. I actually get pretty annoyed by myself for being kind of a complainer or a nitpicker or for really trying to be too ethical or good and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, I'm always compelled to do it because the world is still so ugly. And until everyone starts, like, you know, taking care of each other, I'm not satisfied.
They could send like looking a out robot. For each other. They could send a robot to your house and like have them explain to you the latest vaccine statistics every day. And just that's how we can do it. Eventually, either they're going to give in or the kid just lives without the vaccines, you know, builds up the natural antibodies, I guess. That's what they're saying is going to happen.
Yeah, that's where we're at, though, man. I mean, people really get into that high-minded idea of using the government as a hammer to bring down on other people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like, we have to start thinking not of jail. Jail is not the goal.
And punishment. Yeah. We're always anti-punishment, man. I don't know why we're setting this government up just to tax and fine and slap people on the wrists.
Yeah. We have to come up with better solutions. We have to come up with some ideas. We can never figure that out. We're always like, we even still think of punishments. Like when we talk about solving parking issues, you know, it's always like, well, I mean, we could have a catapult that shoots the car out of the, shoots the car into the sky. And you're like, that's still that would a punishment, be appropriate. Really. That's still a punishment, though.
As long as they put up a sign, the appropriate sign that said if you park here for longer than 90 minutes, your car will be shot into the ether, up into the sky.
That's bureaucracy, though. Now you're getting into signs. Like, once we got to start making signs. And that's the thing that the government's really convinced us of. It's like, shit, man, who's going to make all the signs? If there's no
if we make a sign, we make it reality. You can write it into reality. Because there's some of these down here where it's like there's 8 or 9 signs stacked on top of each other. No parking during 2 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Mondays, Fridays, during holiday weeks, you know, parking during 4 to 6 on Saturdays and Sundays, you know, like as long as it's not the third Saturday and Sunday, they have so many outrageous signs down here in DC.
Yeah. And you got
it's scary. Like it's nerve wracking when you park. You're just like, I hope the car is there when I come back.
Yeah. So you're saying that even the government's getting the signs wrong. But, like, I don't know who we're going to
No, they're getting them right for them. I mean, it works out for them. I'm sure they get a lot of money and a lot of tow tickets.
Yeah, they confuse a lot of people. That's the thing about Columbus. It's really – that's the easiest thing about this place is, like, it's either parking or no parking.
Right? Yeah, I do enjoy
There's
that.
There's no other rules. But, man, yeah, that's the thing they're holding over our heads. They're like, look how good we've done the signs on the freeway. Like, everybody's getting along great on the freeways. And you're like, yeah, you guys did do a good job at that. Maybe we could hire the people that do the signs without, like, also, like, letting them be in charge of missiles. Like, like that's always the thing. It's like the government, the federal government could be good if they were if they weren't in charge of the missiles. That's where you're like, yeah, I like some of the stuff you do, but then you having that army, it makes me nervous. I don't like that you have the army and all the missiles and all the guns. What do you need all those for?
Yeah, I mean, and for me, it's also, if we have to go to war, people should be able to volunteer for it. We shouldn't be actively recruiting them and paying them money to do so. That shouldn't be connected to whether or not I have a smooth road to drive on. That's where I'm at too, where it's like, I mean, that roads argument is so tired, but I mean, I understand that. I see the appeal of it, but it doesn't have to be tied into nuclear weapons.
Yeah. We can still have the roads, but let's cancel the wars. Let's not do the wars as much anymore, because that's the thing that you can't, they have like somehow tied those together. It's like, you know, you don't get the roads without the wars, guys. That's just, listen, you don't get to have public schools without all the killing, without extra militarized police.
Yeah, that's a part of it. I mean, some of the money that will go towards funding paramilitary groups in foreign countries, but I mean, we'll also give the bare minimum amount to the public schools.
Man, that is a huge asterisk, though, you know? Like, if they actually had to articulate that to us, like, you know, it's tax day, you know, make sure to pay your taxes. They pay for the schools, they pay for the roads, they pay for a lot of social services, and they also pay to our militias in South American countries. In Central American countries, and also they go to secret bombing missions and renditions in CIA black sites and things like that. You know, hey, make sure you fill out those forms though and send us that money. Thank you so much for the tax.
Their drone bombing in the Congo will get you a brand new iPhone 6S for $199.
Yeah, they're gonna blow up a wedding. But they're going to get one guy that would have never got to you. And they're going to kill him. A bad guy. But they're going to kill everybody in his family. But you're also going to have, you know, the finest quality USDA inspected meat. So that you know that it's safe to eat.
Sure. We're going to take a look at this. And we're also going to have spies injected into most major countries around the globe.
Yeah, man. That's the thing. That's the thing we want to vote for. Is there a way that we can push for a constitutional amendment to make the government not in charge of the military? And then is there another way to make a constitutional amendment to say that businesses aren't allowed to make a military, because that would be what they would do. That would, like, if we somehow figured out how to get the government to disband the military, businesses would get together and just hire all those troops.
Yeah, they've been doing that anyways. They're paying for politicians as it is. We have a whole network of people above us that are involved with this election process that don't know what it's like to live our lives. I have yet to see them represent me as a person or even understand where I'm coming from. That I mean, like, And so, you know, that's what we're stuck with.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's just, I don't know, man. It seems like, and that's the depressing thing about the election, is that both of the people that are running are so aggressive with as war. They're like really hawkish, like Trump and Hillary Clinton, which Trump just wrapped up the nomination while we're recording. Ted Cruz just was like, I'm out of this thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
See, Ted and Cruz, you know, I don't, here's the thing. Believe that street fight will be in the streets with bats and weapons to take down any fascist government. Like, I'll die for this. I'm not, I don't care. But I mean, I really am not. Trump to me couldn't be any worse than any other Republican they had going out there. You know, I mean, there's, it's still the same old inefficient United States government.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, go ahead.
It's going to be goofy, though. It'll be a little more goofy, a little more reality TV. I mean, like, if he does get elected president, and look, I know that everybody out there is like, he's not going to beat Hillary Clinton. She's not likable. Like, a lot of people in the middle of the country don't like her at all. Don't let them fool you. And, when you're looking at primary victories, you're looking at the actual Democrats in the state. There's a lot of people that are going to go to vote against Hillary Clinton that didn't vote in the Democratic primary for Bernie Sanders, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a new, it's an exciting new world. I don't know where.
It's exciting. It is like, great.
I mean, for me, I look at some of the movements building via Bernie Sanders. I'm kind of interested, actually, in this Democratic prime or national convention happening in Philly, because I've seen a surge of like socialists, like Jacobin type socialists and communists and real lefty people trying to build something. I mean, we might be able to get some 1968 Chicago DNC riots going on, I think, this time around. I mean, it's really it's going to a place that I guess I never saw coming. This is a total black swan moment for me right now.
Well, in Cleveland, when they do the Trump thing, it could also like that
we'll be there. Street fight will be there. It's happening in Ohio. It would be an injustice. We're definitely going to find our way at the Republican National Convention, so expect something happening for that at least.
Like Mussolini, that's like some Mussolini fascism. We're gonna really like, we're gonna have a businessman in
the
there.
Early
some
days.
Guys are coming beat us up for being communists.
Yeah, some some Pinkertons are gonna show up. Some vintage Pinkertons.
Oh man, can you believe? I mean, here's the thing. The United States took a mountain and blew it up to put presidents' faces in the side of it. So you can't sit around and act super surprised that a guy that has gold faucets in his house might be the president.
It's certainly part of the tradition. It carries on.
This whole thing is gaudy and disgusting. It's like, I don't know when it turned that way, but like, that is Donald Trump. I mean, he's a lot of what I see, but I admittedly spend a lot of time in conservative Facebook. So maybe that's my view of the world. But I mean, that's what, even with the White House Correspondents' Dinner, that happened this week. And that's the one where the president does stand up.
Yeah, makes a couple of jokes about the people he's killed.
Yeah, and like the audience is all people in the press. That whole thing happened. And like, I can't even believe that people watch that thing. That thing, that is like the most, that's really dark. That's the dark, scary stuff.
Well, and it's a put on, man, to pretend like they're people like us.
Yeah. Do you watch it? Have you ever watched any of them? Like, I watched a few of them.
No, I've never watched any of them. You mean, is that where Stephen Colbert came on and said all that stuff?
Yeah, I watched that one. That's the one I watched. That's the only one I ever watched. And I kind of liked it. I was like, yeah, that was kind of mean, the stuff that he said. He said mean stuff to the president. Like, he got access to the president, and he said mean stuff, you know? And at the time, that's all you can really ask for. It was just a bummer to find out that it was just because it was a Republican, a president, a lot of these guys were mean to him. Like, if it's a Democrat president, it's a lot less kind of – it's a lot less contentious relationship.
No, this guy does. Yeah, because this guy does like drones in a caring way. He's cool about drones. Like, he's not like one of these out of touch Republicans. He knows what swag is. He puts some swag on the way that he shoots a drone.
Yeah, he dropped the mic. They're just talking about how elegant he is and like how bummer it's going to be that Donald Trump might be the next president. And he's so inelegant. It's like, I mean, I don't like any of the presidents. I mean, they kill people. They live in a marble. They live in a White House. Like, that place is ridiculous with all the security and stuff. It's just they're everything I stand against in the world.
For the most part. And we are going to go off the air. Those of you that enjoyed the show so far, we do continue to do this longer than what shows up every Sunday night at 10 p.m. here in Columbus, Ohio. You can find what we do at streetfightradio.com. There we do a show two times a week, and you can listen to them on the website or subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, wherever you're at. Please remember, if you're in Columbus, Ohio, in the 614 area code, on June 10th, we are going to be doing live... sorry, too much beer. We're going to be doing a live performance at Cafe Kerouac, June 10th, Friday, 7 p.m. It's going to be lit. 1 hour of Brian and I bringing it hardcore. The yuck yucks and the laugh laughs. You're going to love it. $5 at the door if you got fiat cash. $6.66 if you're going to use the Devil's Payment Network of Visa, MasterCard, or Discover. But we will take either. It's going down. If you're going to be in town, please be there. Please support us and please be there. And if you're in a neighboring city, Columbus, outside of Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, D.C., New York, all of that, we are going to expand this, so be ready for it. This is just the beginning, and you'll get more information here at the end after we go off the air here.
You will also take $5 worth of silver shavings, survival seeds, any of those types of things that you would want to use to pay to get into our show.
If you have 4 pounds of organic oranges, I'll take that. Definitely.
Yeah. I'll
take $5 worth
oranges.
Of anything. Bring me some almond butter. Get right in for some almond butter.
Yeah. Brett likes that. Brett likes those hemp seeds.
I'm all about hemp hearts. Hemp hearts, absolutely, man.
Hemp hearts.
I smoke it and I eat it, man. It's that's how I connect with Ja.
It is. when it becomes legal enough for you to buy the lotion, you're only gonna use wheat. You're like, I use only this plant. This is the plant I use.
That is the source of everything, the source of life. It's a plant, you know. It's natural as hell, and you can put it on your cereal in the morning.
Yeah, bring some drugs, man. You know, whatever. We're gonna party at this thing. We're gonna have some fun.
Some feds there though. So if anybody didn't bring their drugs, if they're trying to buy them when they're there, that's a Fugazi Fed Federale.
No,
right,
I'll
there.
Do them with you. Either if you come.
No,
up to
we're
me
not
going to
bring
me.
Them. The people have to bring them for us. But I'm saying, if someone in the crowd is like, "Hey, let me buy a couple nicks of your fairy weeds."
Yeah. No. Cup. I'll do the drugs with you. I hope. Don't just bring weed too. Feel free to bring anything. You know, I'll turn it down if I don't like it. So we have this idea, actually, about doing legal drugs, don't we, Brett? I think Brett and I are going
to
start trying the legal drugs for the Street Fight
like
Nation
to
help.
Yeah,
we need to help, you know, if maybe there's a legal high that you can do so that while you're on parole, you can be high.
Yes. After the 420 episode, if you haven't heard it, please check it out. We did it like 2 weeks ago. We did it for 420. We had our favorite weed lawyer, Stefan BC, at STEFAN_BC, the cannabarrister himself, marijuana lawyer number one from Long Beach, California. Stefan was on, and we talked about legal drugs and some of the ramifications of those, including it was Slim Missile, Mr. Hot Shit. A few other people chimed in on their experiences with legal drugs, and Kratom came up, which is one that I haven't had. I've done, I mean, all, most of the drugs under the sun, but Kratom is one I have not partook in.
Yeah, that is that's one I have. I haven't done any of them. I haven't even done salvia or anything. Like, I'm really turned off by legal highs, especially because the main legal high is beer. Or alcohol, and I hate alcohol. I don't like being drunk. I think it's the shittiest high. So it's like,
yes, but what about another legal high that comes from a plant though? Like salvia is just leaves. It's not like it's near beer or something. It's just other leaves that you can smoke.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I don't. I just I've heard it makes you feel pretty wild. Like,
it's great, but it's temporary. I mean, it's almost like doing whippets, and it takes you out of your reality. You connect with the center of the universe for maybe 2 to 4 minutes, and then you have some sort of a laughing fit, and you come to.
How long does the 2 to 4 minutes feel like when you're in it, though?
It's awesome.
2 to 4 minutes
you never want
mean
it to end.
Anything. Because, like, when you're tripping on mushrooms, you know, time doesn't
mean
shit.
Oh, my God.
You know,
every 90 seconds, you're like, wait a second, are we done doing this? Because I just had the most revelatory thoughts. And then it just keeps resetting every 90 seconds.
Yeah. You live life like a quarter mile at a time when you're on mushrooms.
Yes. You're running over life with a fine tooth comb. You're getting it all in.
So 2 minutes could feel like 2 million years, you know? Like, salvia, I've heard bad salvia experiences, and I've heard great-sounding ones. So I'm not really 100% sure.
It's been varied. I've read that only, like, a small percentage, under, like, a third of people can actually get something out of it. But I definitely was transported to another place. And I watched one of my friends do it, and it was kind of scary. He lost, like, some of his motor skills, like his like shut down and shit. But he totally loved it when he was done. I think we need to get it on video. I think I'll do salvia again, definitely. I want to see you do it because, I mean, I think it could, who knows where it could go. I mean, for me, I know where it's going to go for me. I'm just going to wake up and be like, dude, that was totally wicked. And I think, I think I've finally realized what the formless form is. But for you, I feel like I don't know what could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of anxiety, but I'm also like a lot. Like, I would have never done mushrooms, you know, until I was ready to do it. And I'll do salvia, I'll do kratom. I don't care. I don't want to do trucker speed. Like, that's the one.
I don't want to do that either. I definitely tried some trucker speed out. I threw up foam. So
yeah. That's the thing that's – I'm always like, I want to do this legal drug. I want to kind of do a legal drug project where I just do all the legal highs. But I'm like, man, I don't want that whole – I don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want to have a monster headache. For me, it's just monster headache. That's all I'm looking at. Like, that's why I like a lot of the other – like the natural drugs is that they don't give you a gigantic headache.
Yeah. So we'll do that. We'll get some –
we're going to get kratom. I think we can do we can definitely get a kratom video done because I want to know what's up about it too.
They're going to make it illegal, like as soon as we do the video too. That's the thing. The government's always like right behind. Like they'll figure out a cool concoction blend of different plants and chemicals to get you high, and the government's like that's illegal now too. They did it with Four Loko. It's like what the hell? What people are enjoying this?
Yeah, I mean, it became a problem. People don't know how to handle their shit. Well, then you also have the problem of, like, going to college campuses and having to explain what, like, 12% alcohol is. I think they should do that at college math, is say, like, you know, a Natty Light is like 3.4% alcohol. Four Loko is 12%. Let's do the math here on how many Four Lokos you should be drinking, you know, and don't, after you drink the first one, don't get brave, you know, don't get too loco. You don't want to get, too loco after a Four Loko.
Yeah. Put it in your mind that you're going to get a Four Loko.
Just one.
Put in your
one
mind, you're only going to drink one. Yeah.
You're 128 pounds. Sell you. Just drink one.
You could do that thing where they're like, well, we're only going to sell you one. So you, if you do want another Four Loko, you're going to have to get yourself back to the store to get the
second one. And that could be a problem.
One.
You're right. You're right. I guess that's the test.
That is how you do this. It's like, okay, but it needs to be you. I need to see you when you buy it, you know? You come in here, you hand me the money, you get it all done. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you.
You're not going to make it after you have this.
Yeah. I've known people that drank two of the classic versions. Like, once it went out, too, once it became illegal, we had friends that had a few bottles or cans of it, and they would drink it like a fine whiskey until they ran out.
Oh, I got poured up on that myself. Yeah, like last year on Thanksgiving, someone brought a couple cans of the Four Loko Classic, that 12% with the caffeine.
Yeah, and you guys poured it up and had it for a nice Thanksgiving drink. Yeah, that is nice. That is nice.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was funny though, because that guy did, once they said it was illegal, he drove around to every carry out in town to stock up.
That's the kind of people you need in the world. That's exactly the kind of people that I want to attract to this show. You know,
we're working on it.
All right, guys. Well, you missed the show with me. I had to take a night off, man. I need my relaxation. But
no, I didn't. I didn't do the show. Is the reason we didn't do the show last week.
But I did get a night off, though. I did get a night off to watch Bosch. So
how was it?
There was that. I mean, you know, he's looking for a serial killer. He's a cop. He listens to jazz, and he lives in a nice high rise.
Oh, I like
so,
that.
Yeah, he plays by his own rules, but he's so good at his job that he gets paid well. So it's something that passes the time.
I did have to call off last week, but I am making it up to you. Next week you're going to get three street fights, and I have an interview set up with a guest that I will leave it until the show is recorded. She's going to be good, and I think you're going to like it. And it's going to be a preview of some of the guest shows and interviews that we're going to do in the coming months. On Patreon.com, we have reached enough donations to pay $50 a month for that extra guest show once a month. So we're going to start bringing that to you. So remember to subscribe to the feed on iTunes. Look for Street Fight Radio. If you've got an Android or Windows device, look for the Stitcher Radio app. That's an easy way to subscribe and listen to podcasts. Downcast is another popular one. Whatever it is, find us. And right now, I am trying to raise money. I want to make this work, and I've been taking time away from making money to put it towards this live event. And putting it in towards, you know, getting someone to take care of the social media so I have time to make things work. I want you to understand, people, I've been hustling since I was a kid. Since I was in third grade and I had a creepy crawler machine and I took him to school and I sold creepy crawler pencil toppers and made money. From when I had an eBay business when I was 15 years old selling t-shirts from the thrift store. I really want to make this work, and right now, Street Fight is not something that gets investment or angel investors. There's no brands that want to align or sponsor the shit that we do. So listeners, kindness is all that we have to rely on. So if you can, even $1 a month, like I said, $1 a month, which I know you can all do, make sure it's on payday, the 1st or the 15th or every 2 weeks, whatever it is. Go to Street Fight, Patreon, patreon.com/Street Fight Radio. You can sign up for a monthly subscription to send us money. If you can't remember all of that, streetfightradio.com/support. Right there, you can donate money via MasterCard and credit card through the PayPal link. You can give us bitcoins, or the Patreon link is there as well. But right now, like, I need income. I just need money to move around, to pay, to set up these events. If you're in Cleveland, if you're in Philadelphia, if you're in Pittsburgh, Lexington, Kentucky, if you're in Memphis, if you're in Evansville, if you're in Indianapolis, if you're in Chicago, Detroit, any of those places, the more money you can put in our direction, the more likely we are to come to you. I'm moving this thing in the right way. And I asked Brian about this, but I don't want to do ads on this show because I heard, did I tell you I heard a Wendy's ad this week?
No, but they're paying people to do internet ads now on podcasts.
Yeah. Wendy's is in the game, and Wendy's is in the game, not in like a MeUndies or like Pro Flowers or Sherry's Berries where they just make somebody read some copy. I'm listening to a podcast this week and someone was like, "Hey man, you check out them ghost pepper fries at Wendy's?" And then they're like, "No, yeah, I did, man. We went and tried those out this week." And they, you know, they had a whole conversation about this new advertisement from Wendy's. It made me feel so fucking bad, man. I was so turned off, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always turned off. I'm turned off by live reads. Like, I've gotten to the point now where, like, if you play a commercial, I respect that. I'm fine with
Definitely.
That. Whatever.
Yeah.
You're not saying that. I don't think you're saying you endorse it, you know? So I'm fine with that. But if you're saying, like, yeah, eat them ghost pepper french fries or whatever they're trying to sell, it's like, I don't know, man. That's a bad look.
Another one, the guy at the beginning of the podcast, he had a guest on and he was like, "Hold up, man, hold up. I'm a little parched. Hey, producer Brian, toss me that Monster Energy drink." And he was like, you know, "We want to say thank you to Monster for sponsoring what we do." And literally, like, popped open a Monster and went, "Ah," like did a Pepsi challenge on air for a Monster.
Those motherfuckers need to, first of all, they probably don't even send them a Monster. They probably got to go buy those Monsters to do it. That's pathetic. Don't do that. Oh. Don't do that, guys.
Oh yeah. Those aren't provided. I'm sure they just had to have them with like they pay you money. You need to make sure you can do the commercial.
Yeah. We need to hook up with something like that. And then,
well, can I ask you then about this ad? Can I ask you about an ad I want to do?
What ad do you want to do?
There is an app, a coupon app, called Ibotta. And if you get someone to sign up, they will give you $5 outright. And so I want to run a scam on these fucking fools, man. They work for like all the big brands like Pillsbury and all that shit. And I feel like if we can get Street Fight people that can't donate every single month, I want them to sign up for this shit to at least get us $5. And then after, do it again. And like, even if you're worried about privacy and shit, they're going to make you take a picture of a receipt to get your coupon. Pay with cash so that way they can't track you. And don't use your store card.
Smart. Use fiat currency. Actually.
Yes. Use fiat. And, but I don't know. Is that fucked up?
No, I mean, I would be, if I thought we were going to make money because the company was paying us in a legitimate way, I'd probably have a problem with it. But if we're ripping the company off, I'm perfectly cool with it. So
yeah,
if
you guys never sign have to up use it with again. It,
yeah, rip them off, man. Rip them. If it's a good way to get us $5 and you can rip them off, and please, you know, rip them off. Delete the app if you have to after we get our $5. But that would be a good way to donate to us.
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, like, we got – Justin has been helping a lot with the social media, and I want to have him on soon as well to do a show. But I need to be able to pay him a wage, and I want this thing to work. I want money to be a part of this because I want to keep people paid that have these opinions and have these ideas that work outside of the mainstream but, you know, can still keep a roof over their heads. So if you want to help us out – and let me know if you think I'm fucked up and lame. I don't care. Ibotta, the app, is a coupon app. You can save money on groceries and milk and cereal and everything under the sun. If you go to ibotta.com/r/QIG PQIL. That's the referral code. If you sign up using the code QIGPQIL, and I'll put this in the notes, we get $5 straight up cash money, and then you can just delete the app and never use it again. But it's a way to generate income. It's a good enough amount for me and for those of you out there that aren't getting paid. I mean, we know who we're dealing with. And, you know, you sign up for this app, you get us $5. I can use that money to buy us all clubs to beat the shit out of Donald Trump and his family. So, I mean, that's where I'm heading with this game. So get at us. We're here every single week, two times a week on StreetFightRadio.com. If you want to hear the newest show, it's right at the top of the page. Click on that play button. It's right there. You'll get started on it. Otherwise, you know where to find us. We're on Instagram at StreetFightRadio. We're on Snapchat. Well, no, we're not on Snapchat. We're on Instagram at Street Fight Radio. We're on Twitter at Street Fight WCRS. Facebook.com/Street Fight WCRS. Brian, you can find him on Twitter at Murder Brian, MurderBryan. And you can find me on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram. The name is the same. It's at Brett Payne, BRETTPAIN. Come see us June 10th. It's going to be a fucking amazing time. I can't wait to do it and get started on this next chapter of Street Fight. Peace.
Keep us free.